This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Wednesday, Brent.
Your favorite hump day. Here we are.
You know what? Wednesday, May 1st feels like a new year.
How is that?
Sunshine. It feels like January 1st. We're starting over is what it feels like. And I remember when May 1st was actually a celebration instead of protesting.
Worldwide.
What
everywhere
is
else.
What
it's
is
Labor
that?
Day everywhere else except America.
Yeah. Right. What is up with that?
I don't know. It would help to have an idea of what everyone was protesting to begin with.
Yeah, why are they protesting?
Unhappy. Anyway.
It's May Day. You're supposed to be dancing and celebrating.
Welcome, friends. This is Newsmakers here on KYKN. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Warren, where we talk local issues about Salem and Kaiser and Marion and Polk counties. And obviously, this time of year, what's going on at the Capitol.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We ran out of time yesterday, but I do want to circle around to yesterday's conversation about the so-called education package, which is it's a misnomer for a tax package.
Yeah, taxes.
And then you look in the Salem Reporter today, or you get their email blast, and it just says taxes, taxes, taxes.
Nailed it.
And it is downright scary in terms of, and it harkens back. We had Representative Denise Bowles here,
mm-hmm.
and she said, you know, there were two things that she said. That one was, it's not just, you know, cap and trade. It's not just value added tax. It's not just, like, it's the totality. It's the lumping one after the other on the other on top of these. And she said she had an epiphany moment when she's looking at these hundreds, you know, thousands of bills, and like, holy cow, they plan on passing all of them.
Wow.
And
that was what used to be the percentage of bills that would normally pass in a session?
Oh, I don't know.
You know,
I don't pay.
It used to be like 10%, right?
Yeah.
500 were introduced and maybe 100 would pass. Now
there's like thousands.
Record mm-hmm. year this year, and they're trying to pass them all.
All right. So let's talk about this a little bit. And there's other things to talk about. There's some things happened in the city, some things that are news, and we'll have that coming up. And then we're going to do some event information later in the hour.
Entertainment news.
Entertainment news and event news. Mm-hmm. Later in the hour, it'll be our first, so it's been a special surprise if you stick with us. All right, so we're already talking about the education package, which, of course, is this economic activities tax. They keep coming up with different names of it. And they want to raise, you know, basically
pretty much a sales tax, right?
$1 billion a year.
That's a sales tax. Business activities tax.
Yeah.
Break that out.
If it is a business that has over $1 million worth of receipts,
mm-hmm.
receipts, not profits, then
which
they would
is
pay,
a sales tax.
Then they would, they'll say it's not a sales tax because you're not paying at the cash register, theoretically.
But they're making the business pay it, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Almost every transaction mm-hmm. is then converted to a sales tax on the business, hence sales tax. Not allowable in Oregon.
Okay. Let's. I'm going to start at the bottom of this article and look up.
The bottom?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because it goes back to the totality, folks, we got to pay attention to what they're doing. We can't just hit a headline. Very last paragraph of this article. Legislators have already reached into some taxpayer pockets, dialing back the kicker.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So House Bill 2975, the Governor Brown, she's already signed this. Right? They've already dialed back the kicker. So they've taken $108 million, boom, just like that. I mean, that just kind of happened and didn't really rile people up. And even House Speaker Kotek, you know, I don't know if it's a complaint or a reality, but she says at some point, if you don't get the big thing that they want for revenue, you're going to have to need a bunch of smaller things. So I think it's just in that menu of things we could go back to if we needed to. That's
okay.
Speaker Kotek. So the menu of things, and that's what we were warning about. You know, they want $2 billion here and $2 billion there. And if all of these things pass, we're talking about $7 or $8 billion for a state government that's already has revenue increases.
And record amounts of it.
So here's another one. $70 million is desired to pay for housing-related proposals, right? Again, this might be one of those things that's a statewide solution for a Portland problem. However, to provide the money, they want to cap the mortgage interest reduction, the deduction that homeowners can use. So again, reaching back into middle-class pockets, right? You own a home. Hey, you know, we don't think we should give you so much a break on your taxes for owning a home. We don't want to incentivize anybody to buy their home or anything. So again, House Bill 3349 takes away that. That deduction for, oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to know who introduced that.
That one's for second homes and households.
Second homes.
Yes, but let's see. Alyssa, I don't know if it's Keeney or Caney. Caney Geyer, she's a Democrat from Portland. She proposed capping the mortgage interest rate deduction, you know, to raise this money for.
And she introduced that.
She's quoted. I don't know if she is the sponsor of the bill. So, and of course, we can't let this one die, a move to have a completely new workplace benefit for family leave, right? And so this would basically require employers and employees to share in a cost. They put money in, similar to how unemployment tax works, although that's...
Workman's comp?
Workers' comp is shared a tiny bit, mm-hmm. but primarily it falls on the employer. So
would
the
you
dip
say
is...
Would you say it's good or bad?
This proposal?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to talk about it in a vacuum, honestly. I think I would be... I'm not so sure it is the government's role to make sure that everybody has family leave. You know, some people think this is a right. This is a right. And I just get tired of everything is a right. And hopefully we'll get to it. I'm laughing about the marijuana people because they're like... Now that that's legal, they think they're being discriminated left and right. Well, what? If you don't let us do everything that we want to with marijuana, if you don't let us smoke it indoors, if you don't let us sell it out of the state, if you don't let us blah, 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 that's discrimination. And just the cries of discrimination and what is what is a right in America just amuse me. So anyway, cost shared at least. It goes into a fund similar to the unemployment fund. It would pay for at least part of a worker's wages while they left the workforce when there's a medical emergency, a care for need of a new child, so maternity, paternity, right?
Mm-hmm.
An ill family member, and even pregnancy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, 1.5 OBI, Oregon Business, right? And House Republicans hammer this as a $1.5 billion family leave tax. So let's throw that in the mix. So along with taking our kicker and looking for housing money, tobacco money. Let's not. They have designs on raising per pack tax of $2 plus an extra taxes on cigarettes to fund more Medicaid needs and so forth. Okay, let's throw that in there.
They're going to throw $2 more tax on each pack of cigarettes?
Yeah, each pack right now has $1.33 a pack in tax, $1.33.
Plus the federal taxes.
Yeah, it's just the state tax. They want to raise it to $3.33.
Of taxes. Pack
of taxes.
So that raises the pack of cigarettes to about $9, I think.
Yeah, probably so. Wow.
I told you when I quit, back in 2005, it was almost $3 a pack.
And again, this is goes to the divide and conquer. And that's exactly what the House Speaker in her office, you know, did with the business community is they found a wedge. They chose OBI, Oregon Business and Industry, to negotiate with until they would go supposedly neutral on this education package, tax package. And as soon as they went neutral, they had enough votes to pass the thing, and they passed it. Just like that. But the big article, and the news about it is that they're out there flying in the wind because the other business groups are not on board. They're like, they're really mad that OBI signed off on this or negotiated somehow that they would back off and, you know, fighting against this bill so that she can get the votes.
Hmm.
That's huge. Now, it's called divide and conquer. That's why we lose, folks.
Yeah.
It's why the business community loses. It's why anti-tax people lose. It's why Republicans lose. They're allowed to be divided and conquered. And I guess if you're Tina Kotek, Speaker of the House, you got a major win. You got a $2 billion win.
Mm.
And given that, we're going to be back. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. A lot of topics to talk, varied, actually. A little bit about Portland being the most dangerous city in Oregon. It was in the
news. I agree with that.
Styrofoam's in the news with lots of plastic bags, and marijuana's in the news. Hopefully, we'll get to all this. Let's finish up a little bit, actually, in the Urban Renewal Agency's in the news with an interesting move. So, about the totality of the taxes we're talking about. So $2 billion if this goes through and gets signed, which it should. It's going to go to the Senate floor next. And the Senate was part of this whole thing. So it doesn't even have
call
to go,
your senator?
It doesn't even have to go to the floor. It doesn't even have to go to committee. It's going to go to the floor. Governor already said she's going to sign it.
Okay, right, so we need to call our senators then and tell them no.
Yeah.
Vote no.
Yeah, especially if your senator is a Democrat.
Right.
And all right, $2 billion for this. Cap and trade, which is number one priority, another billion plus.
Ugh.
Right? We already talked about taking part of the kicker. We talked about the more taxes for the cigarette tax and so on and so forth. And they're bitching this like, oh, this is money for education, so it's for the kids, which is a tactic. I was sick of this tactic 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
If it's for the kids, we're going to find some way to make every single tax about the kids.
Or the elderly.
Yeah, or, of course, the Medicaid.
Yeah, grandma's going to be tossed into the snowbanks.
All right, so for a business audience in a business community, you know, they look at both sides of your profit and loss statement. They look both sides of balance sheets. They're called financial statements. And there's more than one way to get to your goals. One of them is to spend less.
Right.
One of them is spend less somewhere else if you want to spend more over here.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like if you're in government and if you're leadership over the capital, the only single way is to raise taxes. It's not, well, we're doing things that have our smaller priority and we're going to cut them, or we're doing things that might be less efficient, so we're going to make them more efficient, eliminate waste. You lower your expenses usually is the first tactic, not oh, let's just raise our revenue because we can just pass a bill and our revenue goes up.
Yeah,
in the real world, they can't do that.
And
the revenue
can't
doesn't
do that.
Go up.
You and I can't do that.
And your expenses go up. You find a way.
We take on 2, 3, 4 jobs.
So here's what's going to happen. And hopefully we're going to report on this. We'll get the totality of this session. Find out how many billions of dollars it is and how many different ways that this legislature reached into everyone's pocketbook.
Wow.
It's going to be gasoline being taxed and natural gas being taxed, of course, cigarettes being taxed. You know, we're going to buy things, and they think they're going to get away with it because it's invisible, but there's no way you pull $2 billion. Well, it's $1 billion a year, $1 billion out by taxing companies that are making things in Oregon and not expect it to hurt somebody. It could be a collective bargaining agreement that works for those companies. Right, it could be non-planned or raises that were planned that don't come through. It could be higher costs at the cash register. All of these things, but you're going to take $1 billion out of the private sector and redirect it because you know better what to do with it.
That makes the private sector sometimes pack up and move out of state.
Indeed,
it does.
Oh yeah,
I've seen it happen.
I have too. There's things that have been told to me in confidence. I can't share, but
major
companies that. Yeah. Have a footprint in Oregon, but their growth is going to Colorado and Utah and Idaho and Nevada. That's where their growth is.
Or companies that want to expand into Oregon don't come in because of that. They just stay in the other states around us. You have to take a road trip to go to or get that.
Anyway, the totality of this, and then we'll see if they still have a supermajority next time around. I certainly hope not.
Probably not.
So major concern if you have concerns about how many different ways that they're increasing our taxes and taking away our deductions,
mm-hmm.
both in home interest rate deduction and so on and so forth, then you let them know. I was like, enough's enough. I don't care what party you belong to. Really? I mean, I think we saw earlier with one of our guests that if you add these up, it's $7 or $8 billion.
That's
it's
not ridiculous.
Like, a billion here and a couple of billion there. A billion.
Yeah, so, with a B, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But let's all just pretend it's all for the kids. All for the kids and people who need health care.
It's secretly for our PERS.
True that.
Secretly.
If you're paying attention, as our newsmaker audience is.
You and I are following the money.
We know it's because PERS cannot be kept up with.
No.
$2 billion a year does not keep up with how PERS is going to increase. It's
really
interesting. We had the mayor on yesterday. And we didn't get a chance to, maybe we'll talk about it next time. We saw, it looks like Salem-Keizer has at least have been planning for this because they're not seeing cuts in their budget, you know, even without this $2 billion increase. Mm. Right? So they're planning on a budget that is the governor's, you know, target.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be another $1 billion a year going into education, presumably.
You know it's not.
And then,
you know it's not.
Special interests, well, according to the bill, it is.
No.
Special interests get in there and they say, well, we want this education money to go to blank. And suddenly they're carving it up and you're really not giving any discretion. Where a lot of us want it, if they're going to put money in education, we want it to go inside the classrooms and we want to go to the general population. We don't want it to be earmarked for just special needs or just counselors or just mental health.
Right.
Or and carving off these pieces and then whatever's left, maybe the average kid in a classroom, the majority of the kids in the classroom who are there to learn, they don't see the benefits of additional dollars.
Maybe an extra pencil.
Hopefully, folks, if they're going to do this, we get smaller class sizes.
That's not
smaller,
happening.
And we get more... we get more education days in the calendar, right? It's embarrassing. Not only do we not graduating, but we don't have enough education days. We're really, really low on how many instructional days that we have in Oregon.
Speaking of that, they're taking an instructional day on May 8th to go protest this budget.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about that yesterday. So
next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday in Salem-Keizer.
So they're taking a school day.
Half a school, well, a couple hours for Salem-Keizer.
Here in Salem-Keizer, yeah.
Portland and Beaverton are canceling school for the whole day.
The whole day.
Because Oregon Education Association has staged a walkout. Love that. Dave, why don't you walk out tomorrow and don't come to work and see how your employer likes it.
See how long that lasts.
Again, this segues into, does the public employees union get to speak for all the teachers and say, maybe that presumes that all of these teachers and everybody represented by the union is for this tax increase because they're basically trying to leverage in a show of force, we want this tax increase to go to our schools, right?
That's basically the union, right?
So folks, if you haven't read about it, be prepared next Wednesday. If you've got school age kids, they're going to be let out early, a couple hours early because there's going to be a walkout and there's not enough substitute teachers. There's not enough personnel that'll still be at the school to be with the kids. So the kids are going to be sent home. They've even adjusted the bus routes. I mean, the bus schedules. So they're planning for this and then they walk out. And I think you read, they're just going to have to tack on another instructional day in Portland.
I
don't know about Salem-Keizer for a couple
hours. I investigated
that,
yeah.
In Portland and in Beaverton where they're canceling the whole instructional day.
And other schools and other districts around the state, by the way.
Here's the question, folks. If this gets passed this week and looks like it's a done deal, are they still going to walk out?
Yeah, that's another question.
So if you're not familiar, there is something called the Quality Education Model, the QEM. And the QEM has been kicked around for a number of years, and it's kind of used as a benchmark. If we had a quality education model, it includes these components, this is the price tag, okay? So it's been the kind of the holy grail of getting to that price tag. And the QEM shows that it would require another $2 billion on top of the $9 billion that's in the budget now. So the K-12 piece is $9 billion in the education budget this session, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's at $9 billion. The QEM would say it needs to be 11. So the walkout is really about a show of we want full funding for the quality education model. We want that level of funding. So it'll be interesting next week on Wednesday. Will they continue to walk out even if they get this $2 billion tax increase? It gets confusing when you're talking about biannual. Budget. So
exactly.
It's $1 billion a year. So it's an additional $1 billion going to education, which earmarked for certain areas. Are they going to cancel the walkout?
That would be interesting.
How is the populace going to feel, folks? How are you going to feel if there is this package that raises $1 billion a year that tax did not exist yesterday, right? Last year, this tax did not exist, but now it does, and they got $1 billion tax increase per year, and they're still walking out?
When's this vote?
It's this week.
This week, okay. Yeah.
So, that's going to be interesting.
And things to make you go,
And again, you know, it's independents that make this that swing elections, right? That unless it's a really partisan district, because there's X number of Republicans and X number of Democrats, and then there's a bunch of people who don't affiliate with either one. How is the average populace going to feel about, but wait, you taxed me here and you took away this, and that, but you got $1 billion on top of this $9 billion, you know, and you still walked out?
Right.
Is that going to feel right?
No.
Is that going to feel right to the teachers who are taking the afternoon off?
Mm.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to hit a few quick topics, and then we're going to talk about entertainment events, right?
Yes.
All right, coming up. Stick with us. We're going to talk about the Urban Renewal Agency and a little bit of marijuana.
Ooh.
This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and our friends at Sylvan Learning Center. And is this hour flying by, Brent?
Yes.
It is. It's already 12:30.
Oh, here we go.
12:34. Sorry.
All right.
We're live. Local.
Let's hit some diverse topics here for everybody. Keep you up in the know. Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Portland's the most dangerous city in Oregon, according to 24/7 Wall Street. 24/7 Wall Street named has an article out and the most dangerous city in every state. If you want to Google it. So some interesting statistics, which is not a surprise, right? It's the big city. It's the urban. They like to invite. Homeless people, and they like to invite.
It's a sanctuary city.
It's a sanctuary. They like to invite illegal aliens, and so let's invite.
I won't go in
every
there.
Marginalized.
I won't go there
population.
At night anymore. I only go daytime.
Well, all right, their poverty rate is higher than the state average.
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, their unemployment rate is lower than the state average. That's interesting.
That's surprising.
It is surprising. Number of violent crimes, they have almost 29% of the state's total of violent crimes happen in Portland.
Yeah, it's what happens when people live on top of each other.
So that was that's as of 2017. These statistics go back to 2017. Violent crimes per 100,000 people, which is a nice indicator. So the state, 282 violent crimes per 100,000 people. 282.
Okay.
Portland, 516.
Just in the city.
Yeah, that's the city's rate. That's 516 crimes per 100,000.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's
almost a million there.
So, yeah, not a huge surprise, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do some calculations there.
Over almost 12,000 violent crimes in Oregon, about 1,000 violent crimes in 2017 per month. Per month, almost 1,000 violent crimes, and 290 of those in Portland.
Yikes!
Just Portland, not including the suburbs.
Just Portland.
Not Tiger, no. Not Beaverton. Not, anyway, all right. Salem, let's move to Salem. Urban Renewal Agency. So we've talked about this with the Union Gospel Mission moving. Another step forward here where the Urban Renewal Agency has purchased the part of that block, the building that includes Saffron Supply. And you could probably drive by Saffron Supply 100 times and not really know that it's there unless you're familiar with the Salem landmark. I've shopped there. I got advised there many, many years ago. Well, that's where you go for water heaters. And, you know, those people, and they provide plumbing and some electrical and to people in the trades and to homeowners and what have you. So they've been there since 1935.
Yay.
Saffron Supply. Wow. An institution. It's been there forever. So, but they acquired it. The city, the Urban Renewal Agency bought it. And this is a part of the whole tactic where the city will acquire the Union Gospel Mission site, tear that down and tear down this half block and consolidate it, aggregate it, as they say, to make it ripe for redevelopment.
So you could have a business for nearly 100 years and still lose your land.
Well, they sold it. They didn't take it.
Did Saffron own it?
Yeah. So they bought four downtown parcels. So this is on Center Street. I mean, it's on Commercial Street around Center and Chemeketa. And then actually it backs up, the Union Gospel, it backs up all the way to Front Street.
Yeah, right.
So this block,
I know where you're talking about now.
$2 million. So they acquire these four parcels. None were taken by eminent domain.
Okay.
So what they do is
they made an offer. They
not everybody
refuse.
Loves it. I we've talked about this before. I like the tool. They might overpay a little bit to incentivize the sale so they can get them all done.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll aggregate the lot, and Union Gospel move. I'm sorry. And then they'll tear it down and they'll make it shovel ready, as it were. Right. And
right.
Take away the mitigating factors that prevents any one entity from being able to do this. So they've aggregated the land into one large parcel and then it gets redeveloped. A similar tactic was used. Folks, if you have driven by the 50 Plus Center on Portland Road and then behind or to the west of the 50 Plus Center is some housing.
Mm-hmm.
And some nice townhouses and so forth. So they've created some living arrangements where people can live in walking distance, the 50 Plus Center. And then there's a couple others, a little bit of office and a little bit of shop, right? But they aggregated the whole thing. So it's a parcel that could do something that was big with it.
Sure.
And into a redevelopment. So downtown, this is a piece. So it's not going to happen immediately. As we all know, Union Gospel is going to take a couple of years to get their new site built so that they can shut down the site on Commercial and Center. But anyway, yeah, it's sold.
And what about the Saffron, the plumbing place?
So Saffron, thanks for asking. They're in business, and they're going to stay open. Everybody who's on that, they're going to stay open.
Are they relocating?
That's up to them. I think the quote from the owner, Rick Gassner is his name. He's third generation.
We should talk to him.
And he says it's kind of bittersweet. Does open options for him and his family about other things to do. But to say they're definitely going to not have that physical store. But he left everything open in terms of will they go to an online supplier? Will they go to another physical store and so forth? Or will it be an opportunity to just segue out into a retirement or a smaller business? I don't know. Saffron's been there since 1935. And according to the article, it gives the owners a chance to do something new if they choose. So Rick Gassner said everything's on open and on the table, so to speak. So. But the key thing is, folks, hey, don't stop shopping there. This is a local small business.
Right.
Go down and shop there. They're going to be right there for another year and a half or so or more.
Okay.
All those shops along there. So they're not shutting down, and they won't up till the point where Union Gospel Mission moves and the city will take the big steps.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay.
It's interesting. Oh, but one more step. I kind of like the tool. It is hard to understand at first glance, especially if you're a fiscal conservative or a government minimalist, like some of my friends are, and I tend to be. But I totally get being a catalyst. Sometimes the government can put their money together as a catalyst. And what they'll end up doing is the money will come back because you'll have a brand new development, and then they'll be taxing a brand new development, and more tax money will come back in and kind of reimburse what they've invested in that site. And typically, this is something you can't get financed. You can't go down to, you know, Bank of America and U.S. Bank and Wells Fargo and get these kinds of things financed. It takes an urban renewal agency to do this so that somebody can come in and get a leg up and make it happen. By the way, a reminder for everybody, the Urban Renewal Agency is an elected governance.
Mm-hmm.
And in Salem, the representatives, your agency members, are the exact same people that sit on your city council. The city council and the urban renewal directors are the same people.
Little fact I didn't know.
If you're not loving what they're doing at city council, if you're not loving that Kara Kaser represents West Salem and killed the bridge, you may think about changing that. Next year, we'll be looking at 4 new city council races. So step up and run, folks, or be prepared to support somebody who is. And in this town, that takes money and walking door to door.
Yes, it does.
All right, moving on. This is what I alluded to earlier. It kind of makes me laugh. It's about marijuana and the versions of different bills that are trying to make it more tolerant. I highlighted that.
Oregon voters, tolerant.
We need to be more tolerant. Now, so now that it's legal, we have to make sure that this illegal activity doesn't get discriminated against. So they're of course, we've talked about they want to export out of the state borders, right? They want to be prepared to export it anywhere in the United States if the U.S. government will allow.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yep. Exporting pot. Also allowing people that you can't have people, policies in the workforce that have anything to do with restricting your right to smoke pot when you're not on the clock. Okay.
Wow.
Unless it, you know, hampers your job production, your job ability.
Still not legal federally, but hey.
Yeah. So here's a quote. This is about equal rights, because whenever you pick on a certain group and treat them differently, that's discrimination.
Okay.
Well, that can be said for just about everything that the government does. It's like equal rights. Now it's not being illegal. It's like, okay, now that it's legal, suddenly we are a downtrodden group. You know what I mean? It just kind of, I don't know, kind of makes me laugh. Yeah, NORML. It's funny. NORML is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Okay.
So, and that these laws that restrict anything having to do with marijuana, I think there's laws restricting the use of beer too. So all you beer drinkers, you should call for more tolerance of beer drinking, and you should make sure that you're not being discriminated against.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So they liken this to patients, renters, the poor, people of color, and women are still marginalized for their cannabis use. So now they're going to throw in, because I don't know about you, but when I see somebody smoking a doobie, it really makes a difference to me what color their skin is. It's like,
wow.
Are there laws that say if you're white, you can smoke a doobie, but if you're Hispanic or black, you can't? Or suddenly we're liking people who want to smoke cannabis with the poor, people of color, and women, and marginalized people, and we're going to throw them. You are downtrodden. It just makes me laugh a little bit.
It's ridiculous. We got to go.
Oh, no. All right. Well, we've got Mary Van Anna coming right up. We're going to talk about something fun. I thought the marijuana thing was fun. But we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by the friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And in our studio, we have a special guest to bring us up to speed on great things happening in the Mid-Valley. Mary Louise Vanetta of Vanetta Public Relations is here, a good friend of mine, a great friend of the community.
She's my friend, too. Hi, Mary. Hi, Mary.
Oh, Dave.
Hello, Dave. You guys are both my friends. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I may know her after you, but she is my friend, too.
Dave has friends.
So, I have a couple.
Well, on occasion, I do charity work too.
We hope
so
to have.
Thanks.
Hope to have Mary on a more frequent basis to talk about things that we can't keep up with.
Yeah, exactly. Right? At least once a month, she's going to give us the entertainment that's going on every month in the Salem-Keizer area. So
there is so much entertainment going on. You just won't believe it. There is a ton of activities going on in Salem, especially
so we're
going to
highlight some?
Yes, absolutely. Well, so for your frequent listeners, yesterday you had Haley on from the Boys and Girls Club, and she talked about one of my most favorite events, which is Cinco de Micro, which will be Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are going, and if you're not, I'll be there for you.
Queen cover band on Friday night.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, in the evening. So I would really recommend that because you'll be able to be outside and inside. So at the conference center, they have an amazing tent. So if you're driving by, you'll see that tent. And they're going to have bands and beer and tastes for everyone. My son is going to be pouring. So go by and say hi to Ryan when you drop by.
Okay.
And the tickets are $20 if you buy them in advance.
Okay.
So you can do that online at cincodemicro.com. And I believe Dave will be putting some of that information up on the Facebook page.
We'll have it on the Facebook, and I'll get it on the website as well.
Super. So all the stuff I talk about today, people can go on the Facebook page and get that preview. But I will be there for sure on Saturday. And I just love the energy, and I love the cause. Boys and Girls Club is a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Stuff. Yeah. Then what?
Well, if you haven't been out to the Wooden Shoe Tulip Festival, they have the last weekend is this weekend.
What?
I know. It's
didn't it just start?
It seems like it, but no, they're wrapping up this weekend and they have a ton of activities going on. Tickets are only $5. So, and the carload,
that's
I believe,
reasonable.
Is 20. So you can take your whole family out. It can be really crowded, so get there early you know, be prepared to wait or bring your snack with you. But it is a beautiful photo setting. So if you're going to take family pictures or anything like that and you love the flowers and you can order bulbs there, they've got a train that goes around, I understand, and it's just a super fun time. So if you haven't made that and you have kids, I would definitely consider
it. It's fun for the adults too. I went on the train with Sandy last year.
And, where is it?
It's in Woodburn, and it's on Meridian Road in Woodburn. And so if you go to their website or you click through to kycan.com, you'll see you know, all the ticket information, the maps, and everything you can do.
And there's signs posted everywhere.
Yeah, it is super popular.
Follow the signs.
And so this is through May 5th, so you want to make sure you get there right away. Okay, so for you who like wine, Family Building Blocks, so you're familiar with that organization, they really take care of families, and they really are teaching at-risk parents how to parent their children, which is a beautiful thing. And they have one of the highest profile events in Salem, which is Uncorked. And this year they have two Uncorks. They have one on Friday and one on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. So Uncork Revelry is on Friday, and that is at Zenith Vineyards. And so the ticket price is $75, so it's more reasonable than the one on Saturday for folks that want to experience Uncorked. All of these are 21 and over. Very, very nice event.
And where's that vineyard at?
At Zenith Vineyard.
Yeah, where's that?
Oh, it is west of West Salem. I can't remember
you
the exact.
Just keep driving out.
Yeah, it's north west of town.
Google.
Yeah.
Okay. Uncle Google. Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a drive, but it's so worth it.
It's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
What a gorgeous event.
Beautiful event. And so on Saturday, they still have some tickets left for Uncorked Live, which is a phenomenal auction and wine tasting.
Hmm.
And the tickets are a little spendy, but if you're going to be giving money to that fantastic cause anyway, this is the place to do it. And you can purchase tons of wonderful wines at their silent and oral auction, and they have some great packages.
And
so
they raise a lot of money right there.
Lots and lots.
A lot of money.
And lots.
Good cause.
Yeah.
Well, and they do. That is the event I look forward to all year. I also, you know, if you love the Y, you know, the Y has got some amazing things going on, and they are having their big luncheon, their big, the Y, it's called This Is Why for a Better Us. That's going to be Thursday, May 30th.
Is that raising money for operations or for the new building?
I think they're raising to tell people about what's happening in the building.
Okay.
And they will probably do an ask at the end. But there's information, and that would be really great to see what's changing in our community. And the last one I want to make sure to mention is Salem Leadership Foundation. You know, we're all friends of Salem Leadership Foundation. They work awfully hard to connect people of goodwill and the community and the churches to help serve our community. They've got lightning rod representatives in all the high schools to help work with the kids. And they are having their Fancy Friday dessert and lunch on Friday, May 31st. So you can go 12 or 7.
So that invitation is sitting on my desk at home when I get back to my computer, but yeah, and I need to RSVP for whether or not to go to the lunch or the fancy dessert.
Or both.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sam, and you all know Sam Skiller, and he always puts on an amazing show and really talks about, you know, his passion for Salem, the city of Shalom.
You suppose you can get Sam on the show for us, Mary?
Oh, yeah. I think we could probably wing it.
You know, and Patrice, I don't know if Patrice is listening to the show right now. Patrice Altenhofen is a fabulous job at the
Family Building Blocks.
Thank you.
Yes, she is extraordinary.
I'm so glad I have Mary here to finish my sentences. Her brain works so much faster than mine. They just, and a lot of people don't even understand what they do as a relief nursery and an education and parenting and all that stuff. It's so valuable.
Mm-hmm. And that, what's so important is what you learn and experience in those early years between 0 and 3 really does change the trajectory of your entire life.
Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we change the trajectory of will they be productive and happy and functional adults, or whether they be on social services their whole life sometimes.
Right.
You know, it makes a big difference.
So go to those events and learn. I mean, that's the Y Luncheon and all of those. They take the time to teach you about what's happening in our community.
Okay, let's go back to the Y Lunch in terms of the website, because we didn't mention that, and how they're going to find out more information. I know some of these things you can get through KYKN and the Facebook page, right?
Right.
And now I'm trying to remember the Y's website. Because
it's the YOnline.org.
Right.
And they're going to be talking about their wonderful new building that they're putting in that's going to be really state-of-the-art. It's very exciting to see what Y's doing.
We had them on.
You had Laura Sam.
Yeah, Laura Moret on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was
about that.
She was awesome trying to describe and paint the picture of this new building. It's been, over 100 years since they, upgraded? Since the 60s or 70s.
It's going to be wonderful. And, you know, so much is happening in downtown Salem right now.
I know, right?
Lots to talk about.
So, you know, this is one of the samples that if you could find, you know, a few things per month to go to, you could be really enriched and really informed about what's going on in your community.
Right. And they don't have to cost a lot of money. They just need you.
So, Mary, what are we going to let's? This is all in May, right?
It's all in May. And this is just a half of what I could have even talked about in May. So.
Wow. Well, I look forward to having you back on.
Please.
And, you know, if you have something that pops up, you can give us a call and we'll put you on the air, right?
Yeah, let me know. If you want to contact me, I'd be happy to take a look at what events are coming up.
Unless Dave's on a rant. And sometimes we run out of time because Dave's on his
soapbox. That happens occasionally. It's more Brent than me. If somebody wants to get their segment on with us, how would they get a hold of you, Mary?
They're welcome to email me. My website is prsalem.com, like Public Relations Salem, and my email is mlvg@prsalem.com.
prsalem.com.
There you go.
You know my radio voice. So we're talking to Mary Louise Vanatta Public Relations. And that's the end of our show. We're going to be back tomorrow and Friday, of course. And we've got another school board candidate coming up on Monday.
Yes.
So stick with us because this is the place to be in the know on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.